I fell into a ring of fire. I fell in.
Let's see it.
When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever.
Oh, I wish I was in Wellington. The wind is cutting.
Welcome to Fever FM, where Cam has realized there's been two games this week. Obviously, Cam is here. Yep. At least in body, if not mind.
Good evening.
And Dale, you're also here.
Yep.
Hopefully in mind and body.
I reckon probably 80% mind. 100% body, maybe 80% mind.
Oh, well, that's 60% more mind than I've got at the moment. Let's move on.
I'm just not used to midweek games, right? It's really rare to have midweek games, and I'd forgotten that the previous pod didn't cover both of them. So, yeah, my bad.
Should we dwell on that for a bit further? Cam's apologising. Music.
Well, you're in charge, mate, so you tell us what we're dwelling on.
First game is the Knicks women versus Adelaide. Obviously, both games, the Knicks women. And this one at home at Porora Park. This one with Noelle Longo again and Rebecca Lake out with that injury as well. So the team was Foster, Barry, Jaber, Davidson, Taylor, Main, Fraser, Winham, Cox, and Speckmeyer. So a fair bit of firepower, which we saw previously, but still some inexperience at the back, I think, is a nice way of putting it. Is that the polite way you would put it, Dale?
Yeah, I think it's probably not too far off our starting 11. I think, you know, Jaber, obviously, you have, you know, Vandermeer or Lake instead. But other than that, maybe Longo would be the only one who would force their way into there somewhere, probably for either Winham or Fraser. Probably more likely Winham, maybe, but probably somewhere close resembling our strongest 11, I think.
Certainly, there's been some good showings their name's gone. This is killing me.
I mean, you've got a whole bunch of names in front of you written on it. For one of those ones?
But you, literally written on a piece.
So, McMeekin. That's who it is.
Got ya.
I could picture her face, but it just was... So she's on the bench with, obviously, Davidson taking that right-back spot and Foster going back to that left-back spot. So that's an interesting change. That is this just basically we've got some coverage in midfield, so Foster goes back to his spot sort of scenario?
No, I disagree with that. I think this is 100% we're playing three games in 8 days. So three games in 8 days, he's done squad rotation and managing minutes of some of those players. So McMeekin's get a game, Davidson's get a game. Obviously, we have another game later in the weekend. I can't remember who started, but purely squad rotation. So everybody doesn't burn out, particularly going into that game where you have to win three in a row to make the playoffs, right?
Is there any way to say this apart from it was a good performance by the Knicks?
No, man, I totally agree. I think they were so dominant. They made it look like a training run. There was just parts of that game, I think, where Adelaide were barely registering anything. Barely register a touch, barely register anything resembling coherent football. Honestly, I think we could have taken a player off and won that game by four.
Argue that if we took Kate Taylor off, it would not have been so dominant. Just her ability to just take it.
Hey, fair call, actually. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, her ability to take up space in that centre just stopped anything they were breaking forward. They just ended up funneling out wide. I thought I think that was one of the best performances I've seen from one of the women without actually touching the ball.
Yep, I'd have to agree, mate.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty comprehensive. I mean, obviously, the scoreline reflects that. I think I admire Adelaide's...
naivete?
No, like the desire to try play football, but they just weren't very good at it. Like, you know, they actually, like for a bottom place team or second bottom place team, trying to play out, play through the thirds, I thought, you know, good on you, but you're just not at that level. But you only get out of that level by trying, right? It could be, you know, quite easy just to try play on the counter or, you know, play for territory. But they tried their best to try play through the thirds, but they just weren't good enough to do it.
I
think I agree with you've got to have the ambition to play that way. I think you get to this part of the season, if your project, if the coach is looking, this group of players is going to stay together, I'm going to project them through for the next 2 to 3 years, absolutely fine, cool, get that, great idea. But the likelihood is that a lot of those women aren't going to be at Adelaide United next year, and the life of a coach in the A-League, either men or women, doesn't tend to be particularly long. So I think by this stage he should have been playing slightly more pragmatic style, and perhaps playing on the break would have been the better way to go.
Yeah, I tend to agree, just that they were lacking in the skills to execute that. And I mean, we've seen that the Knicks are able to play, a lot of the time they're able to play that small football game. And that's because it's come through the academy and these players have been doing it for a couple of years. I think to go into a professional league, and these women looked like they were struggling to execute it, hadn't come across it before. It certainly weren't comfortable with it. And I thought that we pressed them reasonably well. We didn't really try and play a high press. We just tried to play a fast press. And they folded quite badly. There was a couple of opportunities that we kind of left on the table with some mishandling and some just clumsy touches. Dale, who was your kind of standout players from this game? You know, who stood out that they kind of stepped up a bit?
Cox was pretty good. Obviously, I think absolutely skinned her marker a couple of times. I'm just trying to wrap my brain. I think having Taylor in there certainly is noticeably different. And I think, you know, Brazendale has been decent when she's kind of covered in there. And for someone so young and you know, inexperienced, I thought there's definitely something in there to kind of keep her around and think that she could, you know, be a, you know, longer-term player. But, yeah, I think Taylor's quality in there shines out. Winham was pretty decent, but again...
Go on, say it, Dale.
No, she just... I think what I find frustrating is she can do it against the bottom place, you know, the lesser teams. But I think as soon as we come up against someone a bit more challenging, she just finds that harder to find pockets of space and you know, get shut down a bit quicker, and her ball movement's not as zippy as, you know, that it needs to be at that slightly higher level. But I thought she was pretty good. Yeah, we played some really nice stuff through midfield. I can remember sort of 4 or 5 instances where we kind of played one touch 4 or 5 times in a row and broke through their midfield and got it wide and delivered. And we might not have scored from all of them, but we just played as if they were cones for a couple of times in there and played some nice, you know, small ball or one touch football. So in a group, I thought we were pretty solid.
How about you, Cam?
From my perspective, obviously it's harder to see positional place being down pitch side. I don't get the same kind of perspective that you guys do. So all I can see is Kate Taylor breaking up play rather than the other positional work she's doing off the ball. And I just don't see that. My view is narrow. So I also tend to only really see what's happening up with detail in the final third. I thought Emma Main and Isabella Cox were good. I thought they were threatening. They're finding space wide constantly. It's like the fullbacks were not able to read what was happening. It was fairly obvious what we were doing with the switch through play through midfield, and Winham and Fraser were both switching the balls out wide to those players, but they just didn't seem to figure that out. So I was quite impressed with both of them. And we could have had a couple more. I think we're a little more clinical, but we've said that about us all season, haven't we? We said all season if we were more clinical in front of goal, we'd have scored a hell of a lot more, because we've been fairly good at creating opportunities throughout the whole year.
Yeah, I thought that Fraser and Winham's a really good combo when they let us have space in that midfield. Their ability to progress the ball forward through that centre channel is really good. But I think you're probably right, Dale. When teams are able to shut down that midfield, Winham just struggles a little more than Fraser does. Probably gives her the edge. Good call out on Cox too, I think. She's a very different player to the way she describes herself about being about pace and that sort of thing. I find that, like, the way she uses her strength and her technical skills Like she just seems to, she doesn't have that pace off the mark, but when she does like a step over, she drops her shoulder, uses her size and gets in front of the defender and then goes. And I thought that it's a really good use. She did that a number of times in this game and the next game, in fact. Didn't always work out, but I thought she was pretty tidy.
That might be an adaptation to the league as well. She might see herself as a particular way she played when she was in the US, which was how she had to play for the style they were playing over there or the type of league they were playing over there. But when she comes over here, style of play is different. She perhaps gets a bit more time on the ball. The speed is possibly a little bit slower. Certainly less aggressive than American football, obviously. We've talked about that. We talked about the World Cup last year, how the American style of football is being superseded by the European style of football. And I think she's probably found this is a bit different to what she's used to, and she's just adapting to that. And turns out she's actually a bit of a baller and she can play. So, you know, she's certainly suited.
Yeah, I think that's almost a bigger tick in my box, the fact that she's able to adapt to different styles and use what she's got. So that's pretty good. We should talk about the goals. That first goal coming relatively early, 13th minute. Again, the fast press we were talking about before. Fraser's just got onto a centre back who has dawdled on the ball with her back to goal, and instead of passing back to a keeper, she has made a botch of it. Fraser's robbed her, nicked it, tapped it to Speckmeyer, who's just run on into that space, and she's slotted home. It's just a small bit of pressure in the Adelaide defence kind of folding under it. There was a couple of other opportunities not long after that. Did it feel like to you guys that we were able to pretty much advance the ball anytime we got it through that middle third? Because that's the way it felt like through for me. We owned that middle third. It was just we walked through it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think at times, they probably pushed us a little bit wider than we kind of wanted to, and it caused a few of the players to have some shots from some fairly tight angles. But yeah, it did felt that we weren't giving up too much ball in dangerous positions ourselves, and we were able to recycle and go out another side and work our way through when we wanted to. So yeah, they didn't really create anything of real change. Chance, they had, I think maybe one shot that Foster tipped over pretty well, but other than that, they didn't really offer much at all in that game.
I mean, Foster has literally made one save of note. The entire match was that one save of note where she's tipped over. She's barely touched the ball apart from that.
And that was a bit of a speculator, that shot too. Wasn't any kind of real opportunity. It was a lot of opportunities for the Knicks, but just not really putting it away. It wasn't till that almost midway through that second half that I think the a bit of a mix up in the box, well, not mix up, a bit of a lottery in the box, and Kate Taylor's just gone, nah, I'm sick of this, and just smashed it into the net. She looked very, very happy, Cam. I hope you got good photos of that.
Yeah, I did. My celebration photos were actually quite good from that game. Quite liked it. But yeah, I don't know. You've covered it pretty well, mate. I don't really have much to add to that. It was the joyous reaction is always nice.
Yeah. With a couple of subs, they still keep the Knicks still keep running. Robertson getting her second goal in as many games. She looked pretty happy with that too. But nice lead up work from Emma Main and Isabel Cox as well. When Main gets running in those wide channels, she's pretty quick. And this in the next game, she showed that she's got a good turn of speed she doesn't mind using.
She's quite a dynamic player, and she's a lot more skillful than people give her credit for. So I think she's quite the weapon. And again, young, another young player, if she hangs around, she could be quite useful for us moving forward.
Because this is her first full season, right? Because she came in halfway towards the end of last season, I think, didn't
Not even
like towards the end,
five
yeah.
games. Not even halfway. Yeah, like she played three or four games. Yeah, not very many at all. But even when she came in late last season, she certainly provided a different dynamic to the team. Something that, with powerful running moving forward, which she's shown all season this season, that's something that they didn't have last year, to provide that different outlet for those passes that you were last season, Wynnum, and this season, Fraser, Wynnum, and Longo, and everybody is trying to play. So, and Breslin, you know, because Breslin's actually quite good at finding those passes as well. So, yeah, she's very dynamic player and quite the weapon.
I reckon she must be a real absolute pain for the taller centre backs because she's so quick and her centre of gravity is so low. When she makes those runs from outside to in and basically from inside the fullback but outside the centre back, it must be a bastard for the centre backs to track because she's already going at speed and you can't just lean on her because the shoulder's not there. It must be a pain. But yeah, it's a good reward for the amount of work she does. It's a shame she hasn't quite got as much time as I think she needs to develop. Being slightly older than a lot of the other players, it feels like she kind of just needs a bit more time to kind of work up to this sort of thing, rather than just kind of...
Older is relative though, right?
Oh yeah, she's still...
Older is a relative. What, she's 27? Still got years ahead of her in this league. Yeah, I think not even that. I think she might be younger, but yeah, she's still got years ahead of her in this league.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, saying she's got age is a relative.
She's 24.
24, issue. Jesus.
24, there you go.
Yeah, and she's still probably got 4 or 5 years on everyone else there, so...
And more in some cases, with Brazendale still really young. So, yeah, it's. I agree. It's a shame she hasn't got more minutes, but that could also be a sign that the team, and we were right, the team had been playing fairly well as they were.
Yep. So, all up, that final, in extra time, Foster getting one. She captaining that game? Or just the next game?
Foster was captain.
Yeah. So that's a nice one for her to rather than being on the assist, is actually getting on the score sheet.
Robinson was pretty good when she came on too, wasn't she? Like that ball that she played across for that final goal, it was one of those, yeah, she was coming on the left side to put it across on her left foot, and it was also sort of cut back on an angle, which is a very hard ball to play.
Yeah.
With the pace that she put it on, like it was a very, really technically good lacrosse that, you know, took out two or three of their defenders and teed it up for Foster to, you know, claim the fourth.
It does show the pace that Robertson has when she's got such a short stride that she can whip past someone and get the ball cut back as well. It's a good asset to have. All in all, 4-0. You've got to love that. It's a good performance, albeit one at home that we've kind of almost come to take for granted. Was this kind of what you expected, Dale? Maybe not the 4-0, but certainly the dominant performance?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought, you know, Adelaide are down the bottom for a reason, right? Yeah, and for them to have some trouble midweek, you know, from Adelaide, it's a different, difficult task. You know, there's no direct flight. It's pretty tough fixture for them with sort of nothing to play for at that point where you still had a slim chance of qualification for the top six. So I think I said last week, if we can win that game, then we don't deserve it to be anywhere near the six. And I thought, yeah, from start to go, there was sort of no real doubt that this was going to end in a victory for us.
Yeah, this is where the story unfortunately takes a not happy ending line. Both Newcastle letting us down and Western United slipping up against Wanderers basically meant that there was no even mathematical way that we could win, needing 8 points and only having two games to get, albeit against Canberra and the Wanderers. So a bit of a downer, Cam, but what were your hopes from this game against Canberra?
Once the chance of making the six is gone, you still want to finish the season hard. You still want to finish it on high. You still want to go out and, you know, they still want to be playing next year. They're still playing for contracts, and if they want to be at the Phoenix, they still need to impress the guy that's probably going to be coach there next season. So you go out and win, you still play to the best of your ability, and you do the best you possibly can to win the game that's put in front of you. So I thought going into Canberra, it was a game that we were going to win. No matter what, I genuinely thought this was one that was almost a given 3 points. We were that much better than them when we played them over here, and the scoreline flattered them when we played them over here. They are bottom of the table for a reason, and we are better than them. So, yeah, going to that game, genuinely thought we were going to win it.
And being an away game didn't...
didn't matter for me at that stage, purely because the other factors are counterbalancing that.
Dale, how much was it being an away game worrying you?
I'm not sure necessarily the away part of it, but just perhaps the backing up after a short amount of time. And, you know, Canberra's not exactly the easiest place to get to as well. You know, still want to go to Sydney, jump on a bus for like 2 or 3 hours, you know.
Three hours, yeah.
Did they bus them there? They don't fly.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they travelled on Friday for a Sunday game. They travelled Friday, fly to Sydney, and then bus up to Canberra. I'm not sure if they did that on the Friday or the Saturday, but then the game played on the Sunday. I do know they fly back on to Sydney after the game on a Sunday.
I've only been to Canberra once, and it was when I was about 10, so a long time ago. And I remember thinking, even as a 10-year-old going on a plane, it was still shit. So make of that what you will. Dale, you mentioned the backing up and the tiredness. Are you kind of wishing that wasn't the case after having seen this next game against Canberra?
I'll admit, I only saw little bits of this while I was cooking dinner, but from what I saw, we probably should have won that game. I think we had two absolute dollies in the first 25 minutes, you know, free heads from basically 6 yards out that we couldn't convert. There was a couple of other chances, I think, sort of just after half time as well. And then I think basically they had two chances really towards the end of the game. Maybe that's where the sort of tiredness maybe have kicked in a little bit. And obviously they scored with a, you know, headed to the back post, which is a fairly nice goal. But we probably should have had that game wrapped up, I think, before then.
I'm going to come back and argue with you about that goal later.
Me too. Yep.
Cam, obviously, what was it? I think Emma Main missed that first header.
I thought it was Foster. No, she delivered the ball. So yes, you're right. It was Emma Main. Yeah.
Relatively straightforward header. Not a tough opportunity, and I don't even know if she got head on it, did she?
No, I don't think so. Both those chances, the ones that Dale mentioned, the Emma Main and the Mariana Speckmeyer from both inside the 6 yard box, where they're basically not got a touch. I don't know how they've missed. I genuinely don't know how they've missed. It's guilt edged as being too generous. Like those are goals. You have to score those at that level.
Yeah.
And
I found Emma Main's one very hurtful.
Both of those are in that same category. Those should have been put away at that level, I think. And we have one issue late in the game, and it costs us the game where we should have been two goals clear and have that buffer just in case something like that happens. So, yeah, it was incredibly disappointing. But again, you know, maybe it was tiredness. Maybe the camera angle doesn't do them justice for the opportunities that we saw. Because obviously we're limited to what we can actually see. But, you know,
I'll be honest, mate.
I agree with Dale. This is a game we should have been well clear by the time we went behind.
I mean, for mine, we should have been well clear like 20 minutes in. Like those two goals, the main one especially, I find it almost bordering on painful because she had no marker there. She hasn't had to make a run. She's free and clear. All she has to do is get head on it, and I don't know that she could miss. So that as soon as I saw that, my head went down. I don't know about the teams. It's just like I was thinking this is going to be one of those games. And then to see Speckmeyer's, I thought was a bit harder. She had to make an angled run between two defenders, but did get to it. Maybe she put herself off by losing track of it, running past that defender, and it was a tougher angle on the cross. But we've seen her make a lot tougher headers than that. And I think that was the painful bit. It just felt like the team was a bit out of sorts. Just the option taking. We saw Emma Main blow past the player, get basically to the near the goal box, and instead of looking for support, just went, stuck her laces through it from distance. I just the decision making seemed just a little off. Dale.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know the one you mean. I think for me, I don't mind taking a shot there, but I think the build up play form that wasn't particularly great. Her couple of touches leading that took her a little bit away from goal than she needed to be, and it caused a slightly worse angle, and they had enough players that a cutback might not have been so bad, which kind of, I guess, kind of sums up some of our players are, Emma May put an absolute beauty cross in for that Speckmire header, and we talked about how good she was the week, a few days before, but then, these kind of like half touches that aren't quite driving you towards the goal can really change the chance, the probability of scoring, because by the time she got to shooting, she didn't have much to work with.
There was also, she had an opportunity after being put through with Speckmire that she didn't make the most of. What, not a guilty opportunity like the previous two, but you're hoping that, towards the end of the season, everyone's got their shooting boots on. So yeah, it did feel very much like that. I think even Cox had an opportunity after that in the second half.
Yeah, it was mainly sort of,
but didn't make the most of it.
Main sort of put that ball across sort of on an angle, and I think it was maybe just 30 centimetres too far ahead of Cox, and she got just a toe. It was kind of dribbling past the keeper, and the keeper managed to dive back and tip it around the post. So it's like one of those ones, the slightly better contact would have been well past the keeper before she had the chance to react. So
I want to let's circle back on that goal. They've broken down the left and crossed it in to the top of the box. The Canberra striker, Heyman, who's been pretty much a lone wolf up the top for Canberra the whole game, but very strong in the air, gets a header to it, loops it to the back post, and Foster doesn't get there in time. Dale, you reckon this was a good goal?
Well, it was well worked. Well worked down the left. Very
classic.
Yeah,
classic.
Very good cross in between our two central defenders. I guess what frustrates me is when we had only one person in the box and we had two or three defenders and we didn't sort of recognise the run that she made. Obviously, went, I think, over Barry's head and Majaba wasn't sort of close enough to put a decent defensive challenge in there.
Did you see that? Where I struggled was I was watching Foster's footwork. She just looked a touch slow on that. Am I being a bit hard? I mean, I'm not the expert here.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of people say that. I've yet to see a very good angle that kind of suggests that she did poorly for it. Maybe it's that kind of looping here that makes it a little bit seems worse than it perhaps is, because the kind of the angle of floating balls can make you think like you're much closer to it than you actually are. Yeah, so I don't think it was a howler by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't think it was a howler. Just it looked to me like she was almost going, had her weight going too much to the right. I'm looking at it with very biased wicket keeping footwork technique here, but I know that if I'd done that footwork as a wicketkeeper, I'd be fucked. So, but I'm also an old man.
It could come down to the angles as well, the camera angles.
Yep, maybe.
Because we've got that lone one from the side, which is, it can, I guess, make it foreshorten the distances a bit, so it looks like it's closer to her than perhaps it actually was. And she was, from the angle we're on, her feet were, like, she was kind of behind where Heyman was, right? Then Heyman's gone back across. So she may have shifted her weight this way and gone back the other way, but because of where our view is, we can't actually necessarily see the footwork that she's got to get across. So we may be doing her a disservice by saying she should have done better.
Unfortunately, that was kind of the end of the Western United game before was kind of the end of the run, but I think even Temps was struggling to hide his disappointment in the way it played out. The comments in the paper, he was basically that, that was not the way it was supposed to go. I wanted us to go out there and show that, like Cam said, that, we were still playing hard. Cam, did you think that they kind of, the Knicks ran out of steam that last 20-odd minutes? Or was it just that Canberra kind of kicked on a bit?
Yeah, I guess you could interpret them either way, really. We didn't really create a lot late after we go behind. There wasn't a hell of a lot in that game afterwards. And so perhaps you could say that we lost all that, took the wind out of the sails. Or maybe is that the appropriate thing? And you know, Canberra's not chasing anything more. They never looked likely to score particularly much, so they'll take what they've got and hope for the best. And yeah, so I'm non-committal here, man. I don't know how to interpret that. Probably a significant level of disappointment from the team when they obviously knew they should have had 2-3 maybe more prior to going behind. So yeah, so perhaps it's not so much run out of steam as just feel deflated from what's actually happened during that game and then unable to push through that.
How did, you know, Dale, what do you kind of put this down to? I mean, a game that we kind of all think the Knicks should have won, but didn't get it done. Is this late season? Is this just one of those games? Is it the away hoodoo?
Yeah, I think probably the most disappointing thing is we didn't score a goal in that game. I think it's Canberra's, I want to say, first clean sheet of the season. Yeah, they've conceded close to 50 goals or something. 46, yeah. So they're not the most solid team defensively. In some ways, it kind of echoes lots of parts of our season, I think. Been in lots of games, but haven't quite had that little bit of, you know, composure or quality at particular times to finish jobs. You know, like how many, was it like 9 losses by a goal? You know, even if you turned a couple of those into, you know, wins, like we should have in some particular games in particular. Thinking that LA game away, so the Brisbane Roar game where we had a handball in the last minute. There's a few others where, yeah, I think you could say we definitely should have won those away games. You know, would be, you know, still pushing for top 6. So, yeah, just a little bit of frustration that we haven't kind of very competitive, but just not quite getting it there enough this season.
Cam, how do you think, I mean, obviously the newer players, we can't be kind of expecting them to just all of a sudden just kick on. How did you find that the players that are, you know, the returning players, the players with more experience have been doing to this point?
And the season as a whole, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with how the team has gone. I'm impressed with the development of the younger players. I'm impressed with how those who have been here since last season stepped up into leadership positions. If you take a look at someone like Kate Taylor and particularly Michaela Foster, have stepped into, you know, leadership roles, and with Longo being injured, there's a lot to love about what this team has done throughout the entire year. Not just those senior players, but every aspect of that team. And obviously, you know, it wasn't for everybody. I mean, Chloe Knott left partway through the season, and so be it, that's fine. You know, the development in these ways isn't necessarily for everybody. You know, you've got to find the right environment. It's like any work environment, right? If you're not happy in your work environment, you go find another one. It's pretty standard. This is still a job. In the end of the day, this is still a job they need to get paid for, and they need to be happy in the work environment to perform at a decent level. Sometimes we lose sight of that fact because for us, it's our passion, it's what we do with our personal time. But, you know, we still have to look at it, go, for these people, it is a job. So there's a lot to love there. The only disappointing fact is they couldn't kick on and get the playoffs when the season looked so good at the start that they could have got into and probably should have got into the playoffs. But you can't call it anything other than positives. So if you're going to look at your players who are backing up from last year, there's a lot of positive marks there. Some of them obviously with the injuries, the long-term injuries didn't help. Can't really judge them. But those that have played for the majority of the season can say they've done so with a lot of heart, a lot of pride, and developing into quite a decent football team. Coupled with the finds you've got with your Macy Frasers and your, to be fair, there's a pile of names you could throw in there that have developed into decent footballers that have come through. Daisy Brazendale's another one who at the start of the season was incredibly young and has come through and shown in the last game that she's could actually be a decent six when she's, you know, gone through a little more development, a little more time in with the academy, a little bit more time in a pro environment, she can be quite the player. And even like looking at your imports, Spickmeyer has been good. Still, I think she might actually be the leading goal scorer for the club now. I think she's got 7 this year, something like that.
10.
So 10 this season. So well and truly the leading goal scorer for the women's club in its history, you know. I thought Breslin's been decent. That provided something that we didn't have last year in competition and depth in positions where we needed competition and depth, where we didn't necessarily have players who can step up. Or if we did have players who had stepped up, there was no one coming up behind them, making them work for that position, which these guys, these ladies have 100% done. And we needed 100%. So, yeah, I think a lot to love, man, a lot to love and a lot to look forward to moving into next season if they can keep developing.
The reason I ask is I just kind of had this thought. It's the players that have kind of went through those kind of first tough season or two, Mackenzie Barry, Kate Taylor, even Alyssa Winham, Zoe McMeekin, all of them I thought showed really good progression. I mean, Winham's basically been sitting on the pine for almost that first half of the season, but she showed that she had developed. And McMeekin, the same. She's developed kind of those secondary and tertiary skills that she kind of needed to progress. Barry's basically a nailed-on starter now, and you know, I mean, she's the same for the Football Ferns, effectively. Especially well when they're playing their local games. Kate Taylor, same kind of thing. I've just kind of thought almost all of these players that have kept through basically 2-3 years have kicked on. And I thought that's really cool.
And that's cool.
That's really cool.
I struggle to look at that purely in isolation. I struggle to look at it in isolation purely because it's not just a consequence of the coaching and the development they've had through those pathways. It's because of who we've brought in to challenge them into becoming better players. It's because they've been in a situation where we've had multiple injuries in their fields, in their areas, and they've had to step up into and be the senior players that they can be. You know what I mean? I struggle to look just them in isolation because I think everything is interconnected so completely within that squad. I think it's a massive shout out to what Temps and Callum have been trying to do all season. And yeah, obviously it fell off the rails a little bit in the middle part, but all in all, those women can come out of that season, they're all better footballers than when they started.
Dale, I know we've only got a couple more minutes, but I wanted to ask you a question about the away side of this. Bearing that the tribulations that the team's had in playing away games, if we kind of think back to those early Knicks men's days where playing away was such an issue as well, what's your kind of thoughts? You know, obviously it's been a tough away season, but it has been in the past for the men's team when they were trying to get, it's only been this season realistically for the men where they've kind of had a real decent run of form away. And I think there was one of Ernie Merrick's one, wasn't there, where they did well away.
Yeah, I think the 14-15 season, I think we were pretty good away.
Yep. We were amazing away that year.
I mean, the short answer is, having a better team helps, obviously, right? Because if I think I said a while back, I think, you know, if you assume, you know, for example, traveling away limits you by 5% or something, if you have a better team, that 5% isn't as big, you know, you drop down, you're still competitive. So yeah, it's not surprising that for the men, that when they've done well, they've been both good at home and away. So I think, and maybe it's a bit tougher for the women's side because, you know, these players are usually have jobs as well. So there's a little bit of that other aspect to it. You know, every time you have to travel away, you probably have to take a shift off work. There's a financial probably thing about that. Yeah, so there's probably a little bit more on that side that's a bit of a challenge. And I think, you know, some of these players are still quite young. Some of them, it's their first professional, you know, environment. So this is completely new to them. And so, you know, to expect them to be, you know, top of their game, every week is probably an unrealistic expectation. I was kind of thinking about this before. Like, we've scored enough goals this season to be a top six side. You know, 34 is among what would be in the top six. I think the problem is we've been just a bit too leaky at times at the back, and you know, that's probably not surprising given who we've had out for long periods of time. You know, even Longo's missed basically half a season as well. She's only played about half the minutes.
Mm.
You know, Pandemir's been out for most of it. Wisniewski's been out for almost every bit, but about 100 minutes.
And now Lake.
And now Lake as well. So, yeah, perhaps we've been a little bit unlucky, and that's kind of made us slightly weaker across the board. So if we don't have those sort of big impacts next year, whether we'd be a bit more competitive, you know, away from home.
I want to give a bit of a shout out to the academy team. I was kind of going down memory lane when I was thinking about the away team, away struggles for the men's team. When I was thinking back to the academy players coming through, and how, you know, even right when the academy players were coming through, we were only getting like one or two. I mean, and I remember the Rufa and Redenton were kind of the only two that kind of came through in that patch. And Rufa, who has turned into a very good player now, took a long time to do that. And Redenton kind of peaked and never progressed. Whereas I look at this, basically we're pumping out for the women's team, that Knicks Academy is pumping out a lot of talented players who are kind of have shown quite an ability to step up, you know, probably triple the number that relative to the men's side in those early days.
Until this season.
Oh yeah, this season's been a bit of a freak show for the men's side. But again, that's almost an aberration. Dale can talk to us about stats and how we can just write off this one as just kind of an outlier, right? Whereas we've kind of seen through the last three seasons on the women's team that there have been players who, you know, we've seen kind of three players a season that kind of have come through and go, yeah, I can play, which is, I think, is gratifying as well. Nice monologue at the end from me, as usual. No surprise there. So with that recap done, obviously the women have their game on Saturday at 4 p.m. at Pori Royal Park. So get along there for a nice partisan crowd so they can finish strong for the season.
That's the Pride round too. Don't forget, it's the Pride round.
Thank you, Cam. I had forgotten, but thank you. The men will be... their game has been rescheduled from the Friday, if you haven't heard. It is now on the Sunday. It is at, my thing is saying, 1 p.m.?
Correct.
1 p.m.?
1 o'clock kickoff. I think that's the available window after the transfer of game.
Yep. And that is at Sky, obviously, with the All-Whites having returned as well. So get along to that one as well if you can. So next week we'll have those two games to talk about. Hopefully 6 points in the bag and a nice finish for the women for the season. The men to keep on top of the table. They are currently 3 points ahead, but Central Coast have a game in hand and superior goal difference at the moment.
And more wins because it's done on wins first.
And more wins, yes, true. They have equal wins at the moment, but if they win their next game for the 3 points, they will be a win ahead and goal difference. So hopefully we'll see you there. We'll be the ones making noise and generally making fools of ourselves. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Phoenix City.